and this is Frank
from the Unlovables,
and you're listening to Rocket Fuel.
What's up, and welcome to Rocket Fuel, where we play punk, ska, indie, and everything else in between. My name is Jeff, and I'll be your host. Coming up on the episode, I've got new music from Cold War Kids, Static Radio NJ, and Banner Pilot, as well as classic tracks from Screeching Weasel, Weston, and Hepcat. Later, I'll review the new album Just Say Yes by Punchline, and I'll talk with Hallie and Frank from the New York City pop-punk band The Unlovables. But up first is new music from Static Radio NJ. The band recently released their debut full-length, An Evening of Bad Decisions, on the Black Numbers label. Here's a track from it. Here is Green Hoodie.
Yeah.
back at Rocket Fuel. That was new music from the Minneapolis punk band Banner Pilot. From their go-kart release, Resignation Day, that was Mile Marking. Prior to that was a classic track from the Philadelphia-based Weston. From their 1996 album Got Beat Up, that was No Kind of Superstar. And now, punk rock headlines. According to an MTV report, former Blink-182 drummer Travis Barker has been released from the hospital. The drummer spent 9 days at the center after the plane crash that took the lives of 4 people and seriously injured Barker and his collaborator, DJAM. Barker underwent treatment for severe burns on his torso and lower body. 2 crew members and 2 passengers on board were killed when a Lear 60 aircraft was deporting an airport in Columbia, South Carolina. The jet reportedly failed to lift off, went off the runway, and crashed into a nearby road. The Learjet was headed to Van Nuys, California. Former Jawbreaker and J-Church drummer Adam Faller has resurfaced with another new project. This one is San Francisco-based 3-piece A Blacklight. In early October, Adam, along with bandmates Chris DeRosa and Sean Biggs, will be heading into the studio to record an EP. Biggs spent several years at Fat Records Motor Studios assisting on records by The Real McKenzies, Lagwagon, NoFX, and No Use for a Name, and will be engineering and producing the record in his San Francisco studio. The band plans on self-releasing the record in late July. 2 demos can be found on the band's MySpace page. According to a Rolling Stone report, Howard Stern is apparently plotting a remake of the Ramones classic Rock and Roll High School. The original 1979 film, which was about a group of punk rock-loving students who, along with the Ramones themselves, rebel against the school's administration. And finally, as the band continues their reunion tour, Face to Face have been confirmed for Australia's Soundwave 2009 festival, which travels through 5 cities. Frontman Trevor Keith has recently mentioned that the band may record a new album at some point. The band's last album was How to Ruin Everything, released in 2002. Punk rock headlines are brought to you by punknews.org. Sometimes you feel like a punk, sometimes you don't. Up next is more brand new music, and this time it's from the New York indie band Cold War Kids. Last week, the Kids released their follow-up to their acclaimed debut, Robbers and Cowards. From the new album called Loyalty to Loyalty, this is Something Is Not Right With Me.
Something is not right with me. Can't complain about the weather if we never go outside. We can't complain about the weather if we never go outside. We can't complain about the weather if we never go outside. Can't complain about the weather if we never go out. If we never go out. If we never go outside. There's a real cool club on the other side of town where the real cool kids gotta sit around and talk bad about the other kids. Yeah, it's a real cool club and you're not part of it. There's Bailey, Pickles and Patty Cakes too, and Cubby's making mean jokes about you. Uh-huh, you little twin. Yeah, it's a real cool club and you're not part of it.
Welcome back to Rocket Fuel. That was a classic track from punk legend Screeching Weasel. That song was called Cool Kids, which originally appeared on their 1996 album, Bark Like a Dog. Before that, you heard the awesome Canadian band Statues with The Last Stand, which is off of their New People Make Us Nervous record. The band was recently in Alternative Press magazine for an article featuring Canadian bands, and it was well-deserved because they are excellent. A small but growing trend in the music industry has been bands leaving record labels and the potential assistance that they can bring to step out on their own to release their music themselves or through a record company that they have created. Current acts such as Less Than Jake, Real Big Fish, and others have freed themselves from labels and contracts and have taken total control over their musical destinies. Another band to take this bold step is Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania's Punchline. The pop-punk band's latest release, titled Just Say Yes, is the first release on their own Modern Short Stories label, after they parted ways with Fueled by Ramen, who put out the band's previous two albums, Action and 37 Everywhere. Just Say Yes opens with Ghosty, an upbeat, fast-moving pop-punk song that has Punchline singer Steve Sobel sleigh belting, I am more than you see, my confidence is buried deep in me, to soaring guitars and driving drum beats behind him. The song, laced with more sugar than Fun Dip, also contains the ironic lyric, hope is just this thing that holds us down, amongst the poppy background rhythms. Just Say Yes was produced by Jamie Wolford from The Stereo, and now with Let Go. I had the pleasure of talking with Jamie on episode number 10 of Rocket Fuel, and am a big fan of his work. Wolford's fingerprints of pop wizardry are all over this record, especially on the band's current single, humorously titled The Hit. The background vocals on this tune channel No Traffic, it made me want to give that old record a spin. Coming from this listener, that is a compliment on Punchline's ability to write catchy, no-nonsense punk tunes. Those good vibes continue through Just Say Yes, with tunes like Punish or Privilege, the piano-based Somewhere in the Dark, How Does This Happen, and My White-Collared Shirt. The best way for me to sum up this record would be that if The Stereo and Green Album-era Weezer made a musical baby, it would sound like Just Say Yes. Of the album's 12 tracks, two of them stood out to me as ones that broke up all of that sugary sweetness. Strangely enough, the first one is the title track, which comes in right at the halfway point of the album. The track, which is just under 5 minutes, feels like a filler song to me that goes on way too long. The other track that irked me on the record was the last track called Castaway. This song, also hovering around 5 minutes, ends off Just Say Yes with a slow, methodical tune which takes out some of the blood sugar that the previous tunes put in and marks the end of the album with a more somber tone. I'm not saying that a band like Punchline can't mix things up a bit with a slow jam. I just wish that the slow jams that Just Say Yes had in them brought more continuity to the record and didn't seem to take away from the great momentum that they build. On the rocket fuel gauge for albums, a 0 being that the record is out of gas, a 5 being that the tank is half full or average, and a 10 being that the record is full of gas and ready to blast off, I give Just Say Yes by Punchline an 8. This is one of those records where after you give it 2 or 3 spins, you'll find it in regular rotation for months. Punchline has a knack for crafting well-written pop songs with a hint of punk rock goodness. Do you disagree with me on this review, or is there a song you'd like to hear on the show? Hit me up at rocketfuelpodcast@gmail.com or through my MySpace page at myspace.com/rocketfuelpodcast. Here is my favorite track from Punchline's Just Say Yes. Here is Ghosty.
Isn't it funny to live for someone else's script? Will it save us from heartbreak? 1990.
here at Rocket Fuel. From their album Crush, Boyfriend, Heartache, that was New York City pop punkers The Unlovables with If You Were Here. Prior to that, you heard the Manhattan, Kansas band Ultimate Fakebook with Far, Far Away, which came from their 1998 debut album, Electric Kissing Parties. Going back to The Unlovables, I had a chance recently to speak with Hallie, the band's singer and bassist, and Frank, one of the band's guitarists. Here it is. Okay, I'm here with Hallie and Frank from The Unlovables. How's it going, guys?
Woo, it's going good!
Awesome. Now, how did you guys initially meet and form the band?
Frank and I knew each other from just, like, seeing each other at, you know, pop punk shows in New York in the East Village back in the day when there were, like, a bunch more clubs open than there are. We had a great club called Coney Island High, and CBGB's was still open, and they were still having shows at the Continental, and I would see Frank out at shows all the time. And so then when I was starting a band, he called me up and said, "Hey, I hear you're starting a band, and can I come down and play with you guys?" So that was how it happened. We just definitely, like, our only connection was just being in the scene and being familiar faces through shows and stuff.
Very cool, very cool. Now, Hallie, I understand that you're kind of taking a break from the band right now to pursue another dream of yours. Can you tell me more about that?
Well, I'm an actress and a dancer, and it's actually kind of the opposite. It's like the band was like the thing that I did when I was taking a break from dancing and acting. It's like, it's a tough industry. I've actually been pretty lucky. I've like actually been able to work pretty consistently, but then when I would be between jobs, it was really, really nice to have something else artistic to dive into. It's like when you're doing acting and you're doing dancing, you're kind of like waiting around for someone else to tell you, like, oh, hey, here's this opportunity. You can act in this project or you can dance in this project. And the thing that I loved about the band was just that happened, like, on my time, on my terms, and I didn't have to wait for somebody's permission or, like, someone to give me the thumbs up to do it, you know? I could
sure.
be between jobs, and we could, you know, find some place that would let us play and book our own tours, and it was definitely something that was a little more, autonomous. So now I'm back dancing full-time, and so it leaves less time for the band, but I know there will be a day probably sooner rather than later that I'll have more free time on my hands, and then I'll have the band to sort of dive into again.
Very cool. Now, Frank, how is that for you and the rest of the guys in the band as far as, you know, working with Hallie and her schedule as far as acting goes? How does that work out for you guys?
Did you hear that?
Well, that works out for us because the rest of the band, and me included now, are in, like, so many other bands. It's like, I think we all just want to play music as much as possible. So, you know, if Hallie takes a break for a couple of months, we just, you know, go off and start another band and play a couple of shows and, you know, get it out of our system. And, you know, I'm always looking forward to playing a tour or whatever with The Unlovables, so... we keep a good balance, I think.
Awesome. Now, what other band or bands are you in, Frank?
Hallie and I are both actually in this other band, the Lost Locker Combo, which is kind of a more of a collective, I guess. You know, sometimes Hallie is in it when she has time. If not, some other very talented person fills in. But it's like an education-themed, kind of goofy, garage-ear, pop-ear kind of band. There's even a glockenspiel and tap dancing and silly string involved. So
we wear school uniforms and we sing songs about school.
Okay.
She's always more concise about these things.
Well, that definitely sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, sometimes, like, tomorrow night, for example, we, both bands get to play the same bill, and it's a good time to be able to slip on the school uniforms and just make jackasses of ourselves for a minute.
Very cool, work double duty, double shift.
Yes, exactly.
Awesome. You know, a lot of the Unlovable songs are about love and relationships. Have any of those previous songs gotten you guys in trouble with a jealous boyfriend or girlfriend?
I'll pass this one to Hallie.
No, you know, it's so funny. People just love to have songs written about them. It doesn't really matter if they're positive or negative. I've really found that anyone that I've ever written a song about has just had their ego so stroked by the fact that I would, like, pen a song in their name that at that point they don't really even give a shit, like, whether I'm saying something nice about them or not. But I don't know. I'm also, like, I pretty much stay friends with anyone I've ever dated. I'm not one of these, like, big blowout, let's never speak to each other kind of people. And so I think also most of my exes and I are able to, like, have a good laugh even at the songs where I'm, you know, maybe being a little bit more harsh about what went down or how it all ended. I think, you know, time sort of heals all wounds. I think everyone's able to sort of listen to the songs and you know, get a kick out of them on some level or another.
That's pretty cool. Now, has there been any kind of, since you're still friends with some of your exes and stuff, have as they've moved on to other relationships, has there been kind of a fallout for that song that maybe you wrote for them with their new, you know what I'm saying, with their new relationship?
That is such a good question. I do not actually know if my exes play my song for their new girls. I kind of hope they don't. I don't know. That would be a little weird. That would be like, I don't know, like showing your new girlfriend your, like, love letters from your old girlfriend. I think it feels kind of private. I hope they don't do that.
Yeah, I just, that could get them in trouble for sure.
Yeah.
Now, you guys mentioned, of course, you guys are from New York City, which has a lot of a big piece of punk rock history in it. Do you guys think it's hard to play and build a fan base in a city like New York, or is it easier because it's such a large city? And it is so punk friendly, at least from my perspective.
You know, I feel like pop punk is just its own weird little creature that is just, like, has its own rules, kind of whatever city you're in. I would say, in general, yes, that it's really hard to build a fan base in New York City. I mean, if we were playing just, like, radio pop or indie rock or, you know, I really don't have an understanding of how those people build a fan base because there are just so many other bands playing that kind of music and trying to, you know, clamoring for this city's attention. But with the pop punk thing, it was actually, like, remarkably easy. There was, you know, some great bands that came before us that kind of paved the way, and there was a great little scene. And I really felt like from our first couple of shows that people already, you know, knew who we were and had an understanding of that, like, the kind of music that we were playing was part of this scene that already existed before us. And, yeah, I was actually, like, I feel like we were a little spoiled. If I ever decided to play another kind of music, I don't think that it would be that easy to just have, like, really enthusiastic, sweet people showing up at your shows really from the start, which is what happened for us.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's very cool. Switching gears a little bit to my home state of Florida, it's getting close to that time of year where a lot of us folks make the pilgrimage to Gainesville for the fest. Of course, you guys have played the fest in the past. What is your best memory, if you have any sober ones, from the fest?
I'm going to pass it to Frank, because Frank has been a more regular attendant of the fest than I have. I'm actually going to get to go this year, which I'm totally excited about.
Awesome.
But, I think I missed, like, even just, like, the past 2 years. So, wait, here's Frank.
Hey.
Hey.
I think there's so many, you know, beautiful, drunken, you know, naked pool parties and all that I could go into detail about, but I won't. but I think, like, the best set that I've seen in a long time was the Underground Railroad to Candyland last year when they were all in, like, dinosaur costumes. And it was just, the music was fantastic, and the costumes and everything was one of the best things I've ever seen.
That's awesome. That's very cool. Now, I know that you guys are both big movie buffs. What is your favorite movie of all time, if you had to pick just one? I know that's hard.
I guess the movie that I can watch, you know, most often, if it's on and not be totally sick of it, is Taxi Driver. I think I've seen that. You know, just, I'm not the kind of person that watches movies twice even.
Right.
So the fact that I've watched it, you know, maybe a dozen times, I guess that would make it my favorite movie.
Okay. What about Hallie?
Let me pass it over to Hallie.
I don't even know if I can answer that. I watch so many movies. I see, seriously, probably almost every movie that comes out. It depends what kind of mood I'm in. I mean, if I want something, like, romantic, I probably, I don't know, my favorite is probably Amelie. That's, like, such a cheesy answer, but I love that movie. And if I want an action movie, I want Vin Diesel. I love Vin Diesel, stupid Vin Diesel movies. Triple X, Fast and Furious, Pitch Black, you can't go wrong.
Awesome.
And I don't know, like, you know, creepy, like, thriller stuff. I really like Jake Blatter and Silence of the Lambs. I don't know. That's a hard question. I like a lot of different movies. It would be hard probably to find a movie that I don't have some affinity for.
Understand. Well, that's cool. Now, besides playing the show tomorrow, what does the future hold for you guys? I mean, I know, you know, you've got the acting thing going on, which is awesome, but what do you see as far as you guys either touring or getting back to record the follow-up to Heartsickle? What do you think will happen there?
I have absolutely no idea. I really don't. Like, I'm doing this show right now. I love it. I'm really happy with the show. I don't, and, you know, it's New York Theater. It's hard to say how long it will run for, you know. I never really know how long the opportunity to be performing with this group of people in this theater and doing this show, I never know how long that's going to last, so I definitely want to make the most of it while it's still open. I can't really see myself taking a break to tour. The show is really physical, so if I did take a break, I would probably need to just go, like, sit on a beach and, like, drink umbrella drinks or something.
Right.
I don't think that touring would really be, like, a feasible thing to do with my time off. But, I don't know, yeah, I guess, you know, when I'm done with this show, I think, you know, just check back in with the boys and see how everybody's feeling. We just got an offer to maybe do a 7-inch for a new startup label, and that sounded exciting, and we hadn't really talked in a long while about recording anything, but, you know, I'm always writing songs, pretty much. That's a constant, so I don't know, it's cool to think about getting started back up again, especially, I mean, as with anything, when you take a break from something, then you sort of feel like you'll, at a later date, be able to sort of go back into it with, like, renewed vim and vigor.
Sure, sure. Any details you can provide on the potential 7-inch?
Oh, no, I don't even remember. I'm terrible about this stuff. People email me about stuff, and then I half read it, and then I take, like, a month to respond. But it was more just that, you know, I got an email about a 7-inch, and I didn't immediately think, like, no, I don't have the time for that. I can't do that right now. I read the email, and I thought, yeah, actually, maybe that's something that we would do. So whether we would actually take... you know, take this offer, or whether we would, you know, we have, you know, Johnny Wo-O and the Insubordination guys and plenty of really close friends that run labels that, you know, I'm sure that we could, you know, approach if we just decided that we wanted to do something. So, yeah, it was more just that it seemed like, yeah, that would be a fun thing to do. We've taken off enough time now that it would be good to go back to record.
Okay, well, we'll definitely keep our eyes and ears out for that.
Nice.
I just have one more question, and actually it's for you, Hallie. Since you've written a song dedicated to Mike Herrera of MXPX, have you had a chance to meet him?
You know, I think I did meet him, but I met him in the time that was, like, between writing the song and actually having a band that performed the song. So I think I met him, and I knew in my head that I had written this really dorky song about him. It was actually the first song I ever wrote.
Oh, really?
Ever. I didn't actually, like, have a recorded copy of it or anything to give to him. I met him at, you know, like, a Warp tour, like, many, many, many years ago, and I had him signed my journal, and I remember he signed it with that quote from, like, Slowly Going the Way of the Buffalo that was like, I'm not even going to remember it now. It's going to tell you how long it's been since I was in the MXPX, but it was something like, there's nothing quite so great as knowing what's inside your heart, or something like that. I'm misquoting, but
right.
It was really hilarious to meet him. I really think my heart was nearly, like jumping out of my chest and, like, flopping around on the table in front of me. Somehow I built him up to be, like, this huge thing in my mind. I don't know. I was a lot younger then. I'm going to use that as my excuse.
Nice, nice. That's a good out.
But I did finally get to meet him and have him sign my journal.
That is awesome. Well, Hallie, Frank, thank you guys so much for taking the time to be on the show and for talking to me.
Awesome. Thanks, Jeff. Thanks for talking to us.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Hallie and Frank for coming on the show. Up next is more music from the Unlovables. From their latest album, Heartsicle, this is Dance Party for Two, Your Room, 3 a.m.
We've had a great night of talking, ready to get to the movies. We just started making it, I wanted to say goodnight. But I thought it'd be a late, you had your place in mind. I said your place would be fine. Now we're talking, I know you're not all alone. I know it's late, but that's the dawn of the horn. Oh, it's nice to be through, I'm having too much fun. I'm asking me all to do, what are you gonna do? Dance party for two, you're in the 2 a.m. Who won't be the world?
will you remember that it happened to you? Just look and you'll find.
No run, no lie.
There are no secrets to hide.
No run, no lie.
Leave your problems behind. Leave your problems behind. Cha la 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 la.
Welcome back to Rocket Fuel. That was the amazing Los Angeles-based ska band Hepcat with No Worries. That song is from their 1998 Hellcat release, Right on Time. Up next is the last song of the show, and it comes from Smoking Popes. The boys recently released their first album of new material in over 9 years, and it's called Stay Down. From that excellent album, here is Little Jane Marie.
Cotton balls in blue.
Welcome back. That was Smoking Popes with Little Jane Marie. That song is dedicated to Evan. I love you, little guy, and I can't wait for you to get here. That'll do it for this episode of Rocket Fuel. Send your requests, comments, and stock tips to me at rocketfuelpodcast@gmail.com. Be sure to check out my MySpace page at myspace.com/rocketfuelpodcast. Coming up next episode of Rocket Fuel will be a special edition Fest episode, so be sure to check that out. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.